Well, this week's Torah portion is called Mishpatim, and it means judgments or regulations. And Parshat Mishpatim includes many laws and regulations. If you just start at the beginning of Exodus 21 and you go through to the end of this reading, you'll see countless numbers of rules and regulations. What fascinates me about these laws and these regulations is that they are all meant to give freedom to God's people and to bring other people into freedom. And I want you to remember the situation that the Jewish people were in at the time. The children of Israel had made the exodus out of Egypt. They crossed the Red Sea. They've actually come to Mount Sinai. And in one sense, they're free. They're no longer slaves. But in another sense, they are not free at all, because they're still slaves in their hearts and their minds, in their habits, in their ways of relating one to another, in their relationships with God. And so spiritually and as people, they're still slaves. Someone said it's easier to get out of slavery than it is to get slavery out of you. And it took only a short time to get Israel out of Egypt, but it took a long time to get Egypt out of Israel. Sometimes, in fact, the children of Israel were even imagining it would be better for them to be back in Egypt as slaves in Pharaoh. And when you think like that, it would be better to go back, that just shows how slavery is still working in the hearts and minds of people. But it actually takes God's Torah to bring them into freedom. God's instruction, His teachings, His wisdom, they bring Israel into real freedom. And it is coming under God's authority and His instruction and accepting that God has the right to command us, and our response is to hear and obey. That's what brings God's people into absolute freedom. This week's Torah portion also weaves together the idea of freedom and Shabbat. And just to get that in your mind, say that phrase after me. Freedom and Shabbat. Every person is to be free every week on Shabbat. On the seventh day, and I want you to listen to Exodus 23, verse 12, which says this, 6 days you shall do your work. Why don't you repeat that? That will help you. Some of you will just find freedom to get these words coming out of your own mouth. 6 days you shall do your work. And on the seventh day you shall rest. That's good. And it goes on to say, so that your ox and your donkey may rest. How many of you here have oxes and donkeys? Only James. And it goes on to say, and the son of your female servant and the stranger or the alien or the immigrant among you may be refreshed. This is Exodus, ladies and gentlemen. This is Torah, the first five books of Moses. It's only into the second book. And already we're seeing something that God's plan goes beyond Israel. It touches Israel, and then it reaches beyond Israel as well. Because it's making clear that Shabbat is for all people, including servants and people from other nations who choose to live with the Jewish people. It's not only for the Jewish people. It's for everyone who joins with the Jewish people. It's even for animals. So you might say, well, you know what? I'm not Jewish, so I don't need Shabbat, but the animals need it. But in fact, the teaching here is all of us need Shabbat. Israel is to be light to the whole world. And one of the ways that we shine the light of God is by being a nation at rest, a nation that can stop working in order to be with God, and a nation that is so free, think about this, that once a week for 24 hours is not worried about anything. How would you like to live your life where you have a period of time regularly where you have no worries? Would anybody be interested in that as a benefit? Nothing presses you. I mean, let's ask it the other way. How many people would like more worries once a week? More. You know, like, let's just pile them on. Your worries aren't enough. Anybody just feeling like they don't have enough trouble in life and you would like some more? No. We really need to practice putting aside our cares and our concerns. Tomorrow at the Torah service, I want to go into more depth about law and freedom, but tonight I just want to make the connection between laws about freedom and the celebration of Shabbat, because I want to focus on Shabbat and what is called in the New Testament the Torah of freedom or the Torah of liberty. In English, you often see the law of liberty. But wherever it's talking about law in such a way, it's referring to not general laws, but the law of God, the Torah of God. I want you to think a little bit about freedom right now. When some people think about freedom, they think there are no restrictions at all. If I am free, nothing restricts me from doing what I want. I am free if no one can stop me from doing what I want. These are the kinds of people who Las Vegas advertises towards. You know, everything goes. And what happens in Las Vegas stays in Las Vegas. When you have that idea of freedom, that there are no restrictions and that's all it means to you, then freedom is a kind of license to do whatever you want to, regardless of whether it's good or not. Others think of freedom a little differently, more like autonomy. And they say, I'm free if I have the power to decide. And they join together ideas about free will and self-determination and even choice, that they all go together with this line of thinking. And I couldn't help but remember what Kris Kristofferson had to say about this. In that song he wrote, Me and Bobby McGee, Janis Joplin sang it, Willie Nelson sang it. I mean, who has not sung it? Maybe Bob Dylan is the only one who didn't. And his most famous line, do you remember what it was? Freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose. And I was thinking about that like all day, and I thought, what does that mean? You know, it sounded good in the song, and it fit, you know, in the whole flow of the attitude of the song. But when you break it down, freedom is just another word for nothing left to lose. It's like, does that mean freedom is like being totally down and out? I couldn't figure it out. Maybe you can figure it out. But God's freedom is not about loss, it's about gain. And God's freedom does come with some restrictions. Not everything that we can do is good for us. And not everything that we can do is good for other people. And go back to Exodus 23:12. There's an interesting thought contained in here where it says that let me read it to you. 6 days you shall do your work, and on the seventh day you shall rest, so that, and then it names animals, and then it names the son of your female servant and the stranger, so that they may be refreshed. And this really helps me understand something. Your rest will spread to other people. When you take rest, it says, it means that your animals, everyone who serves you, can take a rest. If you don't take a rest, then by implication, others won't take a rest too. If you're always going, 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 and you're always trying to accomplish things, and you've always got your task list in front of you, or your mind is always occupied with your problems and what you've got to do, then the people around you and the people who you influence and the people who depend on you will follow suit. And so there is a tremendous value in making a decision, I am going to rest. Now there is a paradox about God's Torah, and that is that His laws will actually set you free. Yeshua's brother, Yaakov, James, the apostle, I think he grasped this paradox. And two times in the epistle that he wrote, he makes reference to the Torah that is the Torah of freedom. In James 1:25, I'll give a free translation here. He says, the person who continues to study God's Torah of freedom, that is, his perfect teachings that make people free, the law of liberty, those who remain committed to God's laws will be blessed. People like that don't merely listen and then forget. They actually do what God's Torah says. That's an accurate but a free translation of James 1:25. And so he's describing the Torah of freedom as a law from God that causes you to enter into freedom. But the way that it works is not through knowledge alone or through exposure alone, but through practice. If we know about Shabbat up here, but we don't walk in the rest and the peace of God, then our knowledge produces no gain whatsoever, and we don't have the freedom. In chapter 2, verse 12, he gives us two words that go together that combine his understanding of hearing and doing. He says, talk and act. Talk and act. Speak and do. Talk and act as people, this is James 2:12, who are going to be judged by the Torah that gives freedom and brings freedom. Your translation may say something different. But I want to point out these two aspects to his message. The Torah gives freedom. It gives you freedom. And the Torah brings freedom. It brings other people into freedom. Yeshua kept Shabbat. Let's ask a question. Was Yeshua in a bondage? Was Yeshua a man of freedom? He was a man of freedom. It was his custom to go to synagogue on Saturday and participate in the Torah service. Is that because he was hopelessly enmeshed in Jewish tradition and couldn't get out of it? No. It's because the experience of gathering together with others and reading Torah and teaching from Torah, this was an opportunity for life. For Yeshua, to experience life and to spread life to other people. He taught from Torah in the Haftarah on Shabbat. Paul also kept Shabbat. It was his custom to be in synagogue on Saturday and to engage in serious Torah study and dialogue. The Messianic Jewish apostles, however, never thought the nations were required to keep Shabbat, but they kept Shabbat themselves. They demonstrated a pattern for others. They never said, you have to do this, because that was not their thinking. But they themselves kept Shabbat and caused their experience of Shabbat to become a pattern for others. Tomorrow I want to talk about law and freedom, and especially about how freedom works. The freedom that God has given us. I want to talk about what it is. What is freedom? What does it mean to us? How do we walk in freedom? How do we bring freedom to other people in light of the Torah portion? And how to use the Shabbat and Messianic Jewish lifestyle to experience freedom and to bring others into freedom. So come join us tomorrow if you can. Right now I want to take some time to encourage those of you who are participating in the Shabbat experiment. On Friday, January 8th, I brought a short message to the congregation called the Shabbat Experiment. And then on Saturday, January 9th, I brought a deeper message called Shabbat Lifestyle. And you can listen to these on our podcast. Many of you have taken these messages to heart and you've been experimenting with Shabbat. And you've been recognizing that Shabbat is a 24-hour period from Friday to from sundown Friday to sundown Saturday. You can add a little before and after if you like. Thunder to the truth or something. Shabbat is bigger than a Shabbat service. Many of you have taken to heart the fact that Yeshua was right when he said Shabbat was made for mankind, that we actually need Shabbat, and that Shabbat can be helpful to bring us closer to God and to our families and to friends and congregants, and that Shabbat is really a gift from the Lord that can bring us a lot of blessings. And I know many of you are experimenting with Shabbat. Some are having Erev Shabbat dinners on Friday night and then coming to worship together on Saturday. In fact, with our shorter Friday night services now, many of you have been having more fellowship after the services. Some are even eating together after services. And a few of you are actually getting more sleep and more rest on Friday nights. Can I see hands? Has anybody gone to bed any earlier with some Shabbat services ending earlier? A few of us. I, for one, enjoy that a lot. And I have found that I come Saturday to Yom Shabbat, to the Torah service, more refreshed, eager to continue. I know some of you have been celebrating Havdalah. It's the celebration that marks the end of Shabbat. And I have a gift for you tonight, but you have to come up to get it. I have... we're not going to hand them out to you, but after the service, you can come and I'll give you one. It's a Havdalah guide to help you celebrate Havdalah, the end of Shabbat at home with family and friends. It's got English, Hebrew, and even color pictures for those of you that like pictures. And it's good to mark the beginning of Shabbat on Friday night with the lighting of candles and Shabbat blessings. And it's good to mark the end of Shabbat on Saturday night with Havdalah. Now, one closing thought. Some people are perfectionists. And if you are sitting next to a perfectionist, just touch them lightly on the shoulder and say, I know he's talking about you now. And perfectionists want to do everything perfectly, right? Completely. But when it comes to Shabbat, I want to encourage the perfectionists to go easy. And instead of trying to do everything possible, or to try to do everything all at once, I want to encourage the perfectionists especially, but everybody else can do this too. Take small steps. Better to take a small step with Shabbat and then another one. And then another one. And just move gently forward. That is so much better than to try to do everything all at once and then to find your ambition was greater than your ability to change. It's just like exercise. Have you ever been ambitious about exercise? I have. And there have been times when I said, I remember I said this to my trainer once, who was trying to convince me I needed the right balance of strength, cardio, and eating correctly. And, you know, the eating correctly is the one I don't want to have to pay any attention to. But at one point I said, I need to be coming for cardio 4 times a week. And at that moment, I wasn't coming at all. And he looked at me, you know, like I was a pitiful, feeble-minded adult. And he said, 2 times would be a good start. And I was actually trying to impress him with how much I could do, and he was not impressed at all because I wasn't doing anything. And people can set big goals and then fail to meet them. It's much better to set small goals and meet them and go step by step. I encourage you to do that. Don't try to be so ambitious that you set your goals too high and then you fail. I know many of us need a change in lifestyle so that we can experience rest and refreshment. And we need a lifestyle that supports godly freedom. And I want to tell you, if you'll just go small steps at a time, one step slowly and then another one in its due season, you will find that Shabbat was made for you and it brings you things that you can't get any other way. Let's pray together. Lord, will you help us enter into your rest and will you help us enjoy your Shabbat? Lord, we also want help to bring other people into your freedom. Your ways are higher than our ways. Your thoughts are higher than ours. Lord, let it be that the way you think reshapes and transforms how we think and how we act. Thank you, Lord, for helping us take steps forward. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. We're going to close with some time of blessing. If you have children nearby, then I want you to lay hands on them. First on the sons. If you have a siddur, open up to pages 7 and 8. Doesn't matter how old your children are. They can be grown adults if you're more grown than they are. And for your sons, may God make you as Ephraim and Manasseh. And then in Hebrew, Yasimcha Elohim ka Ephraim v'chim Nasheh. And then for your daughters, smile at them. It's customary not only to lay hands on them, but after you pray for them, to kiss them on the head. That's a good Jewish custom. Yasimech Elohim kasara Rivka Rachel Valea. May God make you as Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. And husbands, if your wife is nearby, smile at her. You can, here, you can practice something. This is a good synagogue thing to do. Kiss your wife on her lips and tell her you love her. I love you. I wasn't looking. Could y'all do that again? I'm still looking. You know, some of you guys, you know, I don't know what it is. A woman of valor who can find, she is worth far more than precious jewels, the heart of your husband safely trusts in you, and I profit greatly thereby. Eshet chayil mi yimtza v'rachuk mipninim mihra batach ba lev ba'la v'shalal lo yachsar. Amen. You can kiss her again. So now someone will say to you, well, what did you do at synagogue? And you say, well, I was kissing my wife. I want to go to that synagogue. I do. Okay, everyone stand up. We're going to close with Aaron's blessing. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'ichunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha. Shalom. The Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you and the Lord favor you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you his peace in the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Shabbat Shalom.